in verse number 18. If you're willing and able, stand with us. We read God's word together. Luke 9, verse 18. It came to pass, as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, let them say the people that I am. Verse 19, they answering said, John the Baptist. But some say Elias, others say that one of the prophets is risen again. And he said to them, but whom say ye that I am? And Peter answering said, the Christ of God. And he straightly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected of the elders, chief priests, scribes, and be slain and be raised the third day. Every Jew who says ignorantly or just because they've never been told, every Jew who claims to believe the Scripture should be shown this verse. Jesus flatly said, this is what's going to happen. By the way, that's exactly what happened. I've not come to set up a kingdom. I came to be slaughtered, to be murdered, and then to rise again in my own power the third day. Verse 23, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. If you underline and highlight in your Bible, underline and highlight verse 23. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever loses his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what's a man advantaged if he gain the whole world, lose himself, be cast away? Whosoever shall be ashamed of me in my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed. When he comes, and shall come in his own glory, and his Father's and the holy angels. But I tell you of a truth, that there are some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. He's talking about John the apostle there, who would see God revealed in his glory there and die of old age. And so we're talking about this idea today about discipleship. We've had our monthly theme of being jump-started and being ready for what's ahead. And I want to preach to you this morning about count me in. Count me in. Would you join me as I pray right now? Father, speak to every heart. I pray that you'd help the technical difficulties we're having this morning. And I pray, Lord, if they don't go away, that's fine. But we want you to meet with us. I'm asking you again to call us. Spiritual growth, spiritual discipleship. I pray that you'd be honored and glorified. Help me to say the things clearly and express them well that are on my heart and mind over these past weeks. I pray, Father, that you would anoint the service. Be with us right now. Speak to every heart. Holy Spirit, use me and fill me, I pray. Give me strength and clarity. May I speak clearly. May I be understood. I pray all this in your Son's precious and holy name. And amen. You can be seated. You can be seated. Count me in. Count me in. You guys not find my notes back there? All right, they're back there. So, Andre, can you go back there and help find them, please? Count me in. Count me in. A lot of folks say, and there's a list of scriptures there, a list of verses. If you can put those up. A lot of people today say you really shouldn't talk about and ask for a decision. Shouldn't ask for a decision. Shouldn't ask for people to respond. The reality is in Knoxville, thank you. The reality is in Knoxville, I would suggest to you that there are churches, and they advertise that way. You come and do these kind of things, and I don't want anybody to come and feel uncomfortable. That's really not my point. I don't want people to come and be put on the spot. We don't ask guests to stand up here. We don't do that. We don't give them a sticker to wear, you know, a button or lapel. Anything like that. We don't do those kind of things here. But I unashamedly call people to make a decision. To make a decision. I believe it's the gospel imperative to call people to respond, to call people to do what God has called and is speaking to them about. In Matthew chapter 4, put that back up, please. Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, the Bible says, and he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They straightway left their nets and followed him. Matthew chapter 9, verse 9. The Bible says, as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, follow me, and he rose and followed him. Notice what he does. Do this, and they did that. Luke chapter 9, we read these verses a minute ago. He said to them all, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life, for my sake the same shall save it. Let me help you this morning. No one is ever changed until he asked Christ to change him. No one's ever changed until he asked Christ to change him. He is the perfect gentleman. Could he do whatever? He sure could. But he has said to us what? Here's my offer. Here's my demand. And here's what I expect from you. Please put the last passage back up. Here's my demand from you. Here's my demand from you. Whosoever will save his life for my sake, the same shall what? Shall lose it. So he's given us some choices here. And I want to speak to that positive choice this morning. I want to offer you three keys, three key words here. Three key words to be a disciple in 2017. Three key words to be a disciple in 2017. It's interesting to me, a couple of things here. I enjoyed looking at people's Christmas photos and stuff on social media. Anybody besides me, you look at people, what they did and all this kind of stuff. And some people travel. And some people have activities. They go skiing or something like this. The people who were down south, you know, I had several folks who used to be in our youth group, and I reckon they were actually at Disney for Christmas, and they were there, and they had the big Mickey Mouse hands, the white gloves, you know, on. They had that and those kind of things, you know. It looked really odd, you know. You got a manger, Mickey, you know, all this kind of stuff, shepherds, wise men. They were there. I know some folks, they left Christmas afternoon and went on a cruise, and they sent back pictures, you know, of a midnight, I've never been on a cruise, midnight buffet, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And they had gluttony for Christmas. And those kind of things. Other people had the surprises. How many of you liked seeing the surprise pictures where somebody got something they didn't know it was coming? I mean, in a good way. A good way, you know, and they had those. And then the other pictures where they got something like, socks, you know, and those kind of, I enjoyed thumbing through some of those, looking at some of those. I enjoyed it. I really liked the kids, though, who were following the movies. And this one had on a Spider-Man jammies. And I'm looking back there at Samantha Ting. And had the Spider-Man jammies. And this one had on, you know, the Hulk shirt and these kind of things like that. Or other folks dressed head to toe. Brandon and Kenneth went to the football game Friday, and they both looked like orange Mario Brothers. You know, just head to toe orange. And I chuckled. It looks with the picture look like that. I just chuckled. I said, there's no way not to identify those people. This one like Spider-Man, this one like Hulk, this one's got a Captain America shield on. We know what it means to follow something, nod your head, and we know what it means to be identified with something, someone, some group. Nod your head if you're still with me. I want to encourage you to be identified, to be easily spotted as a disciple of Jesus. We know the negative. People who say they know Christ, people who say they belong somewhere to church, people who say they're interested in spiritual growth, man, but you can't count on them to save their life. Let me help you. They don't have a church. Are you recording back there? They don't have a church attendance problem. All you listening to this right now, you don't have a church attendance problem. You have a discipleship problem. Your attendance shows up in the fact that you're not what you ought to be as a disciple. It's just the symptom. It is not the root cause. Let me help you with your root cause this morning. There are three words here found, if you would, in verse 23 that I think will help you a lot. Look at verse 23 again. He said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." Three words there. Go back to my notes, if you would, please. Three words. The first word is the word decision. Decision. And I know you don't have any blanks there, so you can just write on a corner or somewhere. I'm going to give you these three words. I'm going to say them over and over. The first word is decision. If any man will come after me, decision. We call people here to a decision. There's a decision to be made. We go to camp and conference. Right now, we look like we're going to a youth conference, and we got folks don't like bugs and stairs, and I understand that. So we'll go somewhere with hotels and TVs and cell phones, but we're going to go somewhere that's going to call us to make a decision for Jesus Christ. One of my students, their church 29th year, putting on a gospel conference over the holidays, and they had 28 people make a first-time decision for Jesus, 400 teenagers that met over the holidays. We are so glad. Allison Newbert, who has been here and spoke here and works with college students in the Memphis, Tennessee area, and they had almost 50 young people, college students, made a decision for Christ in the past year. You don't go anywhere till you've made a decision. You're not grandfathered in. You're not in because your family's in. You personally make a decision to come after Jesus Christ. You can be wet. You can be sprinkled. You can be dunked. You can be confirmed. It doesn't matter. It's you and your heart with Jesus and what He has said to you. There's a decision if anybody will come after me. There's a reason why we have a hard time getting some folks as they get older to do for Jesus. Because they've never made a decision. Never made a decision. And where they could be pulled and pushed a little easier, now they're going, my heart's not there. My heart's not there. It shows up a lot as college students. So there's decision. There's discipline. The other word. There's discipline. Let him deny himself and take up his cross. There's discipline. I have all these years now, people talk about finances and they say, when I make more money or have more money, or I understand. Let me help you. Some of it's just about discipline. I'm going to do this and I'll figure out the rest. It's about discipline. Some of it's just about, we had somebody tell us before we moved here, I got to watch Saturday Night Live, and I wanted to say, it doesn't run all year. It's only on for a little while. And then he said, I'm binge watching. I said, if you're binge watching, I got news for you. Netflix operates in the daylight like it does in the dark. And so does Hulu. I don't understand. I get up so late and all. And I had all I wanted from this couple, and I looked at him, I said, but you do go to work. Amen. You're supposed to be there at 8 and you get there at 11. You don't go, I was binge watching. I was watching Heart to Heart one more time. I wanted to see if they were still married. I was watching the end of Cinderella. I wondered if she really would get the prince. Nobody buys that. Do they buy that where you work? Except for John Tullis. I know they do there. And they buy that where you work? It's just discipline. Let him deny himself. I'm going to talk about that. And then there's another word, daily. Daily. Somewhere in modern America, we've said, man, you get your spiritual stuff on Sunday. The time to be a Christian is on Sunday. Or Saturday night, if your church has service on Saturday night. Your time to be a Christian is when you walk on the property and walk on these doors. That's spiritual growth. I said it one way last year, let me say it a different way. Last year I said you need to be the church between the Sundays. Let me help you. You need to be the church daily. You need to be the church daily. You need to be interested in the Word daily. You need to be talking to the Father daily. If all you do is on Sunday, or on Sunday night, or on Wednesday night, then you're not being what you need to be as a disciple. You can't be a student one day a week or 1 hour a week, no matter how hard you try. Nod your head if you're with me here. You can't pull off being a husband or a wife just occasionally throughout a week. Nod your head if you're with me here. You can't do that. So we encourage us to take up our cross daily. Take up our cross daily. Look at that word, if you would, there. It says, let him deny himself. Let him deny himself. The whole verse screams of discipline, decision, and discipline, and daily. Seth Godin, who's written as much about the area of leadership, and along with him, Collier and his 1 Minute Manager books and that ilk, and they've suggested to us that it takes 10,000 hours to ever become an expert at anything. Years ago, I was in a situation setting where Michael Jordan, the legendary basketball player from the Tar Heels, and then the Chicago Bulls, won five NBA championships. And Jordan was there. It was a small group. And they asked him, how'd he get so good? And he said, Wilmington. He said, Wilmington. He said, the snow. He said, when everybody was playing football, he said, I was outside in the backyard shooting baskets in the snow. He said, when everybody was inside because it was raining, I was outside in the backyard shooting baskets in the rain. He said, when it was hot, when it was cold, when it was wet, when it was dry, when it was easy, when it was hard, I was shooting baskets. I was in the gym before and after practice. He got cut from his first team. He said, when everybody else is taking a day off, says, I'm in there working hard. He and Scottie Pippen. He said, if there's any measure of my success, he says, not been what everybody's seen. And I love this. And this, I know he's arrogant and not had a good last 10 years. I remember like it was yesterday. If I've had any measure of success, it's not been what you've seen. It's been what's happened and what you hadn't seen. So I want to be a good disciple for Jesus here. Let me give you a little clip here. It'll be what nobody else in this room sees. It'll be what nobody else in this room knows about. It'll be you at 6 in the morning with an open Bible or your Bible on the computer being read to you. It'll be you taking a break at lunch and open up your devotional book and your Bible and taking 10 or 15 minutes there. It'll be you during your free period at school, open up your Bible, open up your tablet and reading God's Word. It'll be you at night with a prayer list and a Bible and letting God speak to you. It'll be there in the discipline and in the quiet where you begin to be a disciple of His, and you do that daily. You do that daily. It's about discipline. It's about discipline. My pastor, some of you heard me say this for years and years. He preached a sermon on Saturday night to an empty auditorium there in Memphis, Tennessee. He would be up early and go through it again on Sunday morning. And then by the time he preached it Sunday morning, he'd preach it for the third time. He was so unsure of himself, so unsure of his ability. Constantly practiced, worked, rehearsed. Many of you will come by here and see the car here, or you'll go home or do this and all. And I feel the burden to be prepared and not just walk up and willy-nilly say things. It is important. Why? Because it takes discipline to do that. It is not natural, not natural. 1 Timothy 4:7, Paul talking about this idea here of discipline. He says, refuse profane and old wise fables and exercise yourself rather to godliness. The word exercise is an interesting word there. It's a word we get gymnos, or the word Greek word gymnos, and it becomes the English word gymnasium. Gymnasium. How many of you gymnasium is a good word? I mean, if a gymnasium has a smell attached to it. Old socks, right? And stink. We were at Webb's new gym the other day, and it barely had the smell of socks, but it will. It will. Brand new building, and we're gymnasium. We're at my mom's a day or two this week, and we don't watch morning TV. We don't watch Good Morning America or Today Show. If you do, that's fine. We just don't. I just don't. But we for sure don't watch the morning shows after that. The crazy women, you know, shows. And if you do, again, God bless you. They make me want to stick something in my eye. But I'm at mom's house. And mom's watching. And the other show comes on. She says, I really don't like this woman, but I like hearing what she's got to say. So, which means there's going to be a lot of chatter while this other person on TV is talking. Nod your head if you understand what's about to happen. And I'm there with my coffee going, hey. And she's on there, and she reads this news article and says, there's a gym opening somewhere in New York. that is clothing optional. And she puts the paper down and she says, now look, that's the problem we got with our gyms now. You know, too many people wearing too little. She says, especially you men with your guts hanging out and all. And everybody laughs and all this kind of thing. And I'm thinking, boy, I wish I'd eaten breakfast before I watched this show. And she continues on and said, and they're saying that this was the ancient Greek idea. My ears perked up because I knew where she was headed. Because the actual word meant to train without clothing. She says, I don't think that's true. And I looked at Mom and I went, well, it is. She says, uh-uh. Now I've got an old Greek lesson with my mother. And at 9:15 in the morning, here we go. The idea was to run without encumbrance. The marathoners, the early marathoners, more than likely ran with very little of anything except for the shoes on their feet. It would be as silly as me in a suit and tie and an overcoat beginning to work on the free weights. It'd be as silly as you in, as you ladies in fancy dress, hosiery and heels and full makeup, hopping on the treadmill, the Stairmaster, for a 10-minute burn. It's even more comical to have arms full of groceries, fully clothed, and begin to go on a six mile an hour pace on a treadmill in an advanced climb. No one would do it that way. It'd be like going out and hiking in the wilderness, not just with the necessities that you need, but carrying along coolers and coolers full of things that you had to strap onto your back. No one would travel that way. No one would live that way. No one would train that way. And that's exactly what Paul says. He says, you need to exercise. You need to take care that you put off some things and that you get some spiritual sweat going on. These athletes would discard everything. They would train for one particular thing. We don't expect the swimmers. We don't expect those Michael Phelps people in the Simone Biles. We don't expect those people to be accomplished and efficient in all kinds of other sports. We expect them to be one-note kind of people. We don't expect our basketball and baseball players to be able to do other things as much. We want them to be one-note people. Paul said, I put off everything that hindered me from doing what I ought to do and being godly like I should. We do it at home, by the way. Cut the TV off, time to do your homework. Put the game away, time to do your homework. Put the tablet away, it's time to practice. Put that down, it's time to take out the... We understand to put away distractions and encumbrances. He says, exercise. Let me give you a few ideas, I'm done. We need to understand, we need some spiritual sweat. We need some spiritual sweat. Church and Christianity no longer should be passive. We must devote and dedicate our energy and enthusiasm to being what God wants us to be. Some years back, the gaming world was rocked by the introduction of a silly little game called Angry Birds. Even those of you a little older, how many of you have heard of Angry Birds? Angry Birds. There's Flappy Birds and Happy Birds and Angry Elves. I don't know how many there is out there. It's interesting. Middle-aged men and women completely transfixed by the little game where you tried to knock down the blocks or knock this over. Gravity was introduced, difficulty, and it wasn't enough to win. People became consumed with getting all the stars. In other words, doing it perfectly. They'd do the same level over and over and over. Some of you are playing Angry Birds now, I can tell. They would do this over and over again until they become so skilled. people were offering money. They would charge a few dollars to give you the secret to how to knock it down. People were gladly forking over $2 and $3 at the time in order to get the screenshots, the secret way to get the perfect score. I find it fascinating that we'll lose our minds over a little silly game. Nothing wrong with it. And practice, practice, practice. But we won't put a lot of sweat or any sweat into being the disciple that Christ wants us to be. Decision, discipline, daily. You need some spiritual sweat. You need, secondly, not only some spiritual sweat, but you need to make sure that you have some labor in there. Some spiritual sweat. The word labor, I'm sorry, this is under spiritual sweat. The word labor there means spiritual, strenuousness and strenuous toil. Strive is the word agonize. We need to agonize and labor if we're going to do and be what God wants us to be. See, why should we do this? Let me give you a couple reasons. Number one, disciplined Christian lives are the exception, not the rule. People who do what they should Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, who are eager and enthused about that, they're the exception, not the rule. All the years in youth pastoring, 10 years in Christian college freshman without exception, I never really had a quiet time with the Lord. Wasn't really faithful to church. See, discipline is the exception, not the rule. It's the exception, not the rule. I mean nothing by what I'm about to say caustically. I just say it as a matter of fact. That's one reason why people prefer gospel singings and concerts to church settings. They can go and they can feel and they can leave and there's no commitment. You come to church and you're challenged to be disciplined. You're challenged to be disciplined. See, disciplined Christian lives are the exception, not the rule so many times. There's a second thing there. See, many men are less spiritually inclined to be disciplined than women. I think so in America. You go in any Christian bookstore and the number of volumes directed at women versus the volumes directed at men are 3-1, 4-1. Women walk around with a book in their hand, going to a conference, encouraging each other. Man, that's legion. Most men, we just think we're experts at it. It's not, we're not going to do it. Well, the reason I'm committed, we're going to start some time in the mornings try and work it out where guys, particularly in this area, we can be together for breakfast and pray together, read a verse or two together, do that with regularity because we need to encourage and edify each other. We're going to have a men's directed Bible study, women's directed Bible study. We want to do that because we need each other. Why? Because the women just can't lead the way. We men must be disciplined too. Can I get an amen from the men and the women? Amen. See, a lot of times women are more concerned about their mates' spiritual welfare than vice versa. Gallup poll, 71% of women, ladies surveyed, believe that Christianity can answer all of today's problem. Only 55% of men agreed. The typical church service, it is 6 out of 10 are female versus 4 out of 10 male. By the way, I think it's higher than that. Married women who attend church without their husbands is outnumbered 4-1 by men who come without their wives. See, why is that? I'm not exactly sure, but I have a clarion call for you, a cosmic call for you, that men, we ought to do what? We ought to be disciplined. We ought to make the decision and be disciplined and do it daily. We ought to have some spiritual sweat that's going on. The only time you ought to think, the thing about God should not be on Sunday morning when I'm preaching to you. It ought to be something daily that grips a hold of your life that God is working in and helping you to be. See, when we're disciplined, makes all the difference. Makes all the difference. Say, do. It sounds a lot like legalism. Well, let me help you with Phariseeism. Legalism is about you. Can I be real transparent? I'm going to be whether you nod your head or not. Can I be real transparent? Most of you can tell when I'm out of pocket because I'm bored to tears because I'm not working typically, and I'm posting, being silly. I probably put more stuff on social media this week than I have, and I'm putting stuff on there. I finished up. I've done this several years. Last year was a sprint. It was bad. I ended up with like 40 chapters to read my Bible through with about a week to go. I'll confess, I don't think I read those 40 chapters real well. This year I was right on target. Bing, bing, boom. Finished up last night and gave me this option. Hey, do you want to tell the world you finished your Bible plan? Well, sure. Look how spiritual I am. Everybody else is watching Ryan Seacrest, and I'm reading my Bible. Sure. I hit the button, posted it. As soon as I posted it, I think, I didn't read that for everybody else to see. I don't try and read my Bible through and then study and do other things. I do this because I need to work through the Scriptures devotionally every year. Whatever that is. This year it was all of it. Some years I just do the New Testament. Whatever my plan is for the year. Why in the world did I post that? Found it. Figured out how to delete it. Deleted it. Shook my head. How did something that I did for Jesus become something as an object of pride? What is wrong with me? Hey, what's wrong with us? That's Phariseeism. That's legalism. Look at me. I read my Bible. Look at me. I come to church. Look at me. I put my offering. Look at me. That's just man. Discipline is God-centered. This is your book to me. This is your love letter to me. I can hardly wait for my next appointment to meet you. God-centered. I get to be with the people of God Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival time, special emphasis time. I get to serve these people. That's God-centered. God-centered. You live for me and love me and died for me and rose again for me. God-centered. I want to live for you and love for you and if need be, die for you. And I'm committed to doing this. That's God-centered. Don't miss it. Somebody pats you on the head, well and good. But if God paid his attention, that's all that matters. Discipline. See, we need spiritual discipline to be faithful, to be fruitful, and be a disciple. We get it playing the piano. We get it working through the chords on a violin or a guitar. We understand it to be necessary in science, in the maths. We understand it to be proficient in the languages. We understand the difference a half beat makes on a woodwind. We understand the slightest turn and an ignition in the timing changes the fuel efficiency of the whole auto. We understand precision and diligence and discipline. May I invite you to daily decide to be a disciple. If any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me daily. Would you do that this morning? Our heads are bowed. We mentioned several things to you today. We mentioned to you about a 90-day devotional start. Well, I hope you'll do that. We mentioned to you about a plan for reading, and if you want to follow that as well or in light of, that's fine. We asked you to be faithful these 5 Sundays. to jumpstart, particularly with our special agencies this month. And I'm going to ask you again to just learn what you can from 2016, rejoice where you can, and then build where you are. If you were faithful and fruitful, then ask God to help you be more faithful and more fruitful. If you were inconsistent and didn't do like you wanted to, today's a new day, a new month, a new year. But wherever you find yourself, I ask you to make that decision right now. I want to be your disciple. I ask you to make the decision to be disciplined, that I want to walk with you, Lord. I want to read, understand, and obey. And I want to do it daily. I don't want to turn on and off my Christianity on Sundays. I don't want to put it on service time, take it off as I exit and hit the interstate. I'm asking God to help me to daily decide to be a disciple, because I want to be fruitful and faithful. You're here this morning, and wherever you are, I invite you to talk to Jesus now. Our pianist is beginning to play and our heads are bowed. I wonder this morning if that'd be your decision, your commitment today.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Music's just kind of playing through there. I wonder this morning, that's you. Whatever it's been, whatever 2016 was and what it looked like, this is your prayer for this year. And nobody's looking around. And I thought I'm just not going to have everybody come forward as your decision. But wherever you are, if that's your decision this morning, a young person, a single, married, married again, single again, whatever you are, however you find yourself, I want to daily decide to be his disciple. This is my prayer, my plan, my hope. If you pray that way, would you tell Jesus that this morning? Would you make that commitment to him? Oh, I encourage you to do that today. The quietness of your seat and the simplicity of where you are, no pressure. Decision I've made again this year. I want to daily be a disciple. I want to daily be disciplined in this area. Now, Father, you know every heart. You know each one. You know those. Father, this is a continuation of what they wanted to do last year. And for others, Lord, this is a brand new thing. Some feel very inadequate. They've already worried about how they're going to falter and fall and fail. And I pray you'd give them grace. For those, Lord, who are excited about the thought, I pray you keep that excitement, enthusiasm up. For those, Father, who've kind of learned just to live between the Sundays, I pray they learn there can be so much more Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Help those, Lord, who take home the Renew books today and start their 90-day journey. I pray that you would renew their hearts. I pray that you'd help us this morning. Continue to be with the West, the Johnsons, be with Dallas Kinder. I pray that you'd help in them in particular. Lord, we love you and we need you. Help us to follow you. Be your disciple. Lord, you can count us in. I pray all this in Jesus' precious name. And amen. Amen. Look right here. Thank you so much for being here.